This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Our scripture for today is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, reading from the English Standard Version. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, we ask now in a special way that you speak to us, we your servants, that we may hear your word, we may hear from you. But then, God, not that we just hear from you, we will make it in our minds and our hearts to follow you and do what you call us to do for such a time as this. So bless us, God. Bless everyone who hears. Bless everyone, even if it was not our intention to hear and do. Bless us so we can hear and we can do, that you might get glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our subject for today's message is How to Reach the Masses, Part 1. How to Reach the Masses, Part 1. We all used to love to hear the late Deacon Frank C. McMoore saying, draw men. Oh, my goodness. We used to love to hear it. And just the message within that song is so great and so powerful and so wonderful that if we could hear the words of that song and allow the words of that song, undergirded by the word of God, to guide us and direct us to be and do exactly what God would have us to do and be. I'm telling you, it's almost as if I could hear Deacon Frank C. McMoore right now.
How to reach the masses, men of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Just trust him. That he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, Jesus said, I'll draw. Unto me. Oh, you know he said, draw. Draw me. Yes, I'll draw. Leave me at bed, I'll draw. Oh, he said, I'll draw.
Hallelujah. Draw men unto me. But did you hear the words? How to reach the masses, men of every birth? For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Wow. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. There has been a great falling away of the church. Those who traditionally attend church, even before COVID-19, we used to come to church and would be in church on Sunday all day long. Sunday school, morning worship, Baptist Training Union, or the BYPU, evening worship experience. Some would even have an early morning prayer meeting, and we would just be here on Sundays, and then don't talk about the times that we had church anniversary or revival. I was told years ago that First African Revival was lasting for a month. There was a week of singing, two weeks of singing, and 2 weeks of preaching. So it was just, and everybody was here. This sanctuary would be packed with folk who came for revival, who came every night of the week also to hear a word from the Lord. Yes, we used to come to church every Sunday and stay all day. Sunday, the post-resurrection Sabbath for many Christians, also was just a day of rest, a day of peace, a day to just be with family. I know I'm dating myself now, but stores used to close on Sunday. I'll never forget the first Sunday that I went into, I think it was Walmart or some grocery store or something that had opened up on Sundays because, you know, they wanted to make more money and people were going on Sundays. I'll never forget when I went in and I said to the clerk, I said, oh, man, it's a shame that it's open on Sundays and now you got to work on Sundays. She said, yeah, it's a shame you're in here. She was saying, because you're here, that's why I got to work. But there was a time when church, especially in the black community, was everything. Your social life was tied up in the church and with the folk in the church and around the church. You want to find your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you were looking at the church first. Yeah, the church was the primary place to find that, where you got the hookup. Not only that, your educational life was tied with the church. You went to church with teachers, and you went to church with the principals, and you went to church with other folk who supported the educational system. And in church, that was where you got your first beginning for speaking and for reaching out and doing so many things. The church was also your place of mental health. That was a place where you could shout it out, where you could, whatever's going on in your life, you had a chance to tell somebody, and others would share with you, and you would cry with others, and others would cry with you. It was an opportunity just to be together, to fellowship, to love on each other, and even talk about each other. Folk talk about you, you talk about other folk. But the church was a place for even being able to get mental health, and the church was a place for your financial life. Many of the black business owners and other business owners would come to the church, and you would know them because you met them and you've seen them in and around the church, in your church or other churches, and we'd fellowship and we'd spend money with each other. The church was a central place where everybody came, where if there was anything of any worth to talk about or anything to do, it was talked about and announced at the church. Remember when the church had the person who did the announcements? Yeah. And you would get announcements. All right. Oh, yeah. Somebody would stand and read the announcements to you, even though it's put in the bulletin, the same announcements they're reading. And then after they finished reading the announcements, then the pastor would get up and re-announce what had already been announced. And then at the end of worship, we'll announce what has already been announced and announced. But it was just a time of information sharing and a time of knowing what we had to do and what we were going to do as a community. Everything was wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. And we believed that the world could do us no harm, even in the midst of Jim Crow, even in the midst of segregation, even in the midst of much oppression and persecution. We were able to stick together as those who love God and love one another. Not saying it was perfect, but there was a lot of good going on in and around the church where people were drawn to church, and everybody at least had family members that were connected with the church. And out of all of the oppression, the persecution, Jim Crow, segregation, out of all of that, as bad as it was, we still had one another, along with a faith that held us all together. In the words of an old cigarette commercial, yeah, Virginia Slim says, "We've come a long way, baby, to get where we've got to today." Yeah, I know we've progressed, we've done a lot of things. We look as a community, we look as a people, and we can admit this, we are wiser, we are richer, we are smarter, and we are woke. We've gotten the message out to the world that Black lives matter. But as a body of baptized believers, we have, in this generation, failed to reach the masses. Men of every birth, we have failed to continue to show the relevance of being a part of God's church. So the question is the church relevant today? Is the Church of Jesus Christ needed in this sin-sick world? And if so, listen to me, and if the church is needed, and if we're needed, this is the real question. How do we, his church, reach the masses? Men of every birth, how do we reach them? Do you know, life has a way of repeating itself. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Today, let's take a look at a people yearning to be free from oppression and how they found as a people what was really important in the midst of their journey to freedom. I read to you in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Well, it says, as Moses lifted the serpent, as Moses lifted the serpent. What is that all about? What is this about Moses lifting up a serpent? Well, if you turn with me to Numbers chapter 21, Numbers in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And let's read that together. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. "From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.'" So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Wow. In their quest for freedom, the masses complained and were ungrateful for what they had, while they desired much more. They complained and were ungrateful. God provided every day food, their daily bread, manna from heaven. Let me say it again. God provided for the children of Israel food every day, manna from heaven. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He provided manna from heaven for them at no charge. Woo! From God, free, no strings attached. Manna, the food that you can eat to sustain you. But people got tired of what was given freely. People got tired of what God had given them freely. They got tired of God providing for what they needed every day physically to stay alive. They said, "We hate this worthless food. We loathe." That's what loathe means. "We hate this worthless food." In other words, God, we hate what you're providing for us. We could have died in Egypt. And they weren't starving. That was the part of life. They weren't starving. They just weren't eating what they wanted to eat. They didn't have the variety they wanted to have. So they said, "We hate this worthless food. Even though we need what you're sending us, God, we loathe it. We hate it." Be careful when you underappreciate what the Lord provides. Be careful when you despise what has been given freely to you. Oh, think about this world. God didn't mess this world up. We did. God gives clean water, clean air, sunshine and rain. He gives us family and others to live together in peace and in love. But we tend to want what we want. And we tend to not want what God has freely given us. So we mess up what God has given us and we complain about why God hadn't done more. We complain about where was God when we were in slavery. We complain about where was God when we had to go through Jim Crow. Where was God through all the oppression that our people had to go through? We begin to complain and not look at how it was God who delivered us through many dangers seen and unseen. You got to hear me this morning. We complain about how it's not exactly like I want. Oh yes, I have this car, but I need a better car. I have this house, I need a better house. Or I have this family, but I need a better family. Or I got this husband, this wife, don't go there, Pastor. But we begin to complain about what God has blessed us with. Be careful when we're ungrateful for what the Lord has done. In our text, it says that in Numbers, they complained in the wilderness. They complained to God. They complained to Moses. They complained about God. They complained about Moses. They complained in the wilderness. And God responded. Woo! Let me say it again. They complained. They fussed. They were upset. They even lied about what God was doing. They were saying they had no food, but yet they had manna. They were upset and complained. And God responded. Well, Pastor, how do you respond? It's right there in Numbers. He sent fiery serpents among the people. Mm-hmm. Why are they called fiery serpents? It has been described by commentators that the fiery serpents mean that some say that when the snakes bit folk, that the bite was just like fire. The Word of God shows us that many people died. Many people died. This situation was so bad, till the people then went back to Moses and said, "Moses, Moses, Moses, we've sinned. But we haven't done what we ought to do. Please pray for God to deliver us." It was so bad that they went to Moses and asked Moses to ask God to do something. Now notice, when they go to Moses, they don't go asking Moses to pray to God to give them better food or to give them better water, you know, water that has some flavor to it. Or they didn't go talking about the things that they were complaining about. No, they focused in on the crisis they were now having, where they were literally dying. And they asked Moses to do what you can so we can live. Pray so God can save us from what we're going through now. Moses prayed. Now, I know that as we were going through and still going through this pandemic, as things were not going the way we wanted, we had to close up shop in many places and stores were closed and we had to not be out, still among family only and those who were with you, because we had no vaccination. We had nothing to do but wear our masks, and still you need to wear your mask, keep our distances, and wash our hands regularly. And you should always wash your hands. Pandemic or not, the parenthetic, they just need that. But now we know we need to wash our hands for at least 20 seconds. And out of all of that, we were in fact praying that God would get us out of this pandemic, that God would get us out of this situation. And look, through science and through working, vaccinations came forth. We're able to be vaccinated. And listen, even in the midst of being vaccinated, there are some who are not being vaccinated, but they have the advantage of different states, different cities being open because of those who did get vaccinated. So if you say the vaccination doesn't mean the thing, it's not that important, but yet we're able to start opening up things because of the few people that have been vaccinated. And I say few because it's not the majority. But others who are not vaccinated get a chance to take advantage of those who are. And the places are open. But yet we're still in a terrible situation. But watch your complaining. Because when they complain, when the children of Israel complain to God, when they complain about how bad the situation was, and now they realize after they're dying, and they're praying to God for a solution, Moses prayed and then was instructed by God to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit them, they would but just look on the bronze serpent and live. And when it says look on the bronze serpent, it's really a little more than look. It was they were to look upon this serpent in faith. They would look believing that what God had told Moses was true. And if Moses did what God told him to do, and the people would do what they were told by Moses to do, then they would be saved. So Moses had to obey and build and create this serpent, this bronze serpent, and put it on a pole as instructed. And when he did it, he lifted it up. And anyone who looked upon that serpent, anyone who had been bitten and destined to die, if they looked upon that serpent, if they looked upon that symbol, if they looked upon what God had given Moses to give to the people, they would, in fact, live. Wow. As Moses lifted the serpent, the people who recognized their plight looked on the lifted serpent, and the serpent, because of the faith that the people had in God's word to Moses, would be spared. Let me throw this in there just so you can understand this. If the serpent could not be seen, it was of no value. In other words, if Moses had the serpent prepared, but did not lift it up, where the masses could see it, there would have been no healing. If the masses could not see the serpent, they remained in their dire situation. Moses had to do more than provide the remedy for healing. He had to put it where they all could see it, where they all could experience it. Our scripture text says to us, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. As Moses lifted the serpent, we must lift Jesus. Why did Moses have to lift up the serpent? He had to lift up the serpent because he was instructed that if the serpent was lifted up, the people could live. So why must we lift up Jesus? I'm so glad you asked. We must lift up Jesus so this complaining and dying generation could hear a word from the Lord. We must lift up Jesus so those who don't know him will have an opportunity to come and know him. We must lift up Jesus for those who are full of hatred can find the love that only God gives. We must lift him up for those who are depressed and can find no joy, must know that he is our joy, even in the midst of sorrow. Why must we lift up Jesus? We must lift up Jesus that everywhere we go, dying men, women, boys, and girls will know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Everywhere we go, we ought to lift up Jesus. Everywhere we go, we ought to make sure that others who don't know him will have an opportunity to see him, will have an opportunity to know him, will have an opportunity to love him, and will have an opportunity for a transformation to happen in their lives. We know that we all have sinned, and we've come short, and we know that the wages of sin is death. But God loves us so much that the gift of God is eternal life. Oh yes, my brothers. Oh yes, my sisters. Out of all the ills we have in our community, out of all the ills that we have in our state, out of all the ills we have in our nation, out of all the ills we have in our world, there is an answer. Oh yes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other, because Jesus is the way. That's what Andre Crouch says. But I want you to know, God will make a way out of no way. He will be your bridge over troubled waters. God loves us and God cares for us. We have to lift him up. I know you're saying, Pastor, I hear you saying we ought to lift him up. Well, what do you mean by doing it? It's already been said in the song we heard earlier. It's already been told us how we ought to do this and how God ought to get praise, honor, and glory. We understand this. The song says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the word that he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Don't exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find the promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. And then the last one, and we're going to preach about this in part two, but it says, lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who was taught. I'll draw all men unto me. God has given us the power. God has given us the authority to make a difference in our community. We're talking about ending gun violence, but we'll be talking about ending violence, period. We're talking about making a difference in our neighborhoods, making a difference in our homes, making a difference in this nation. And the way the difference happens is God has empowered us to make a difference. Greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in me, that's in the world. We will love as God will have us love. And perfect love casts out all fear. It's the year of action. We need to do what the Lord has called us to do. Lift him up, my brothers. Lift him up, my sisters. I need everybody to type it right there. Let's lift up Jesus. That's right. Let's lift up Jesus. I need a testimony. I need somebody to testify. I will lift him up. Tell me who will help me lift Jesus. Oh, creature, will you help me lift Jesus? Oh, deacons, will you help me lift Jesus? Oh, trustees, will you help me lift Jesus? Oh, members, will you help me lift Jesus? Somebody got to help me lift Jesus. Oh, my brother, won't you help me lift Jesus? Oh, my sister, won't you help me lift Jesus? Everybody all around you, ask somebody in your family, will you help us to lift Jesus? If we lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. And when they come to him, they can transform their lives. They can let this mind be in them and in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you. What a mighty God we serve. He loves us and he cares for us. And if you're watching right now, if you're listening right now, if you're participating right now, and you're saying, I need the peace that comes from having Jesus. I need the joy that comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. I know you look at other church folk, you look at folks and say, well, they don't have any joy, they don't have any peace. But if you have Jesus, you're going to have joy. You're not going to walk around with a silly grin on your face all the time, but you will have a smile because you know what time it is. You know who loves you and who cares for you, even in the midst of your hard times, even in the midst of your tribulations, even in the midst of what you're going through. Lifting Jesus is an answer to getting to what we need to get to in this world today. We cannot do it without God. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm giving you an opportunity right now. You don't have to move. You don't have to go any place else. Right now where you are right now, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Word of God tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Know that God loves you. Know that God cares for you. Know that Jesus died for your sins and my sins, and he rose from the grave with all power. So on today, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer with me. It's a prayer you have to pray. I can't pray it for you. I can pray it with you, but you have to pray this prayer if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So let's pray together. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart, Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, just go ahead and click on the link that you see there. Let us know through Facebook. Let us know through YouTube. And we'll respond. Even if you call the church office at 912-233-6597, we'll make sure that we respond back to you. We want you first to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then you can become a member of First African Baptist. We thank God for you. Thank you for sharing with us in worship. Don't forget to go ahead and pay your tithes and offerings through Givelify, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y. Through Givelify, pay your tithes, your offering. The tithe is 10%, but we owe God. And God says he will open us the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing. You will not have room enough to receive it. So you can pay your tithes to Givelify, or you can actually send your tithes and offerings to First African Baptist Church, 23 Montgomery Street, Savannah, Georgia, 31401. As you give, we give God praise and honor for you. And we just thank you for joining us. And we're more excited about the people coming to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We applaud the decision that you're making even right now so God can get the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you. We give God praise. Let's keep in mind all of our announcements, all of our observations, that God will get the glory. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, again, we thank you for this opportunity to come and worship together on this day. Strengthen us, God, to do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. Help us to lift you up everywhere we go, that others may know who you are and whose we are. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. That all the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.